And good afternoon and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laurent Landis and the late Patty Fink. Our guest today is Diana Finfrock Farah and her partner Charlotte Mollering. Wife.
Yes, wife.
Wife.
Thank you.
If the name Finfrock sounds familiar, you're a weather sister.
I am a weather sister. That's a great way to put it. I am a younger weather sister.
A younger weather sister. So does David give you special forecasts?
Well, I wish he could give us special weather, no. But if we're going on a trip or something like that, yes, he's real good about telling us what we need to pack and what we can expect on our trip.
And, you know, since the gays cause hurricanes, tornadoes, all those kinds of things, do you ever clue him in that something's going to happen?
Oh, you just made me laugh too hard on that one. Sorry.
You just wrote a book. It's a novel. It takes place here in Texas.
Yes, it's set in Texas.
Tell us a little bit about the book.
Well, it's called The Door of the Heart, and I didn't really choose to write it. It chose me. It was a calling, really. And the book opens with a bullying scene where a gay high school student is bullied by a fellow athlete. Mm-hmm. And the bully happens to be the son of a prominent Texas politician. Mm-hmm. We won't mention any names, but in any event, the event goes viral and changes the lives of Ed and his wife, Tammy Sloan. And we follow them as they suddenly realize they're on opposite sides of this hot-button issue, gay rights. Mm-hmm. And Tammy, in particular, goes through a transformation, not only of learning how to try to be a support and accept, you know, the LGBT community and all that comes with that, mm-hmm. but she actually wants to become a positive force of change. And so I talk about PFLAG, that wonderful group, and mm-hmm. Trevor Project, what a resource that is mm-hmm. for our young people out there. Mm-hmm. And she challenges her Christianity, quite frankly, because, you know, we all know that's such a driving force of everything here in Texas particularly. And so she begins to consider gay rights from a whole new perspective from the very first time. Mm-hmm. But it's not just about Ed and Tammy. The book has multiple storylines, mm-hmm. and you'll meet many different characters, gay and straight, young and old, that really show us what the far reaching consequences of homophobia, mm-hmm. what it does, mm-hmm. what it is.
Do you know, I met Michael Sam this week, and he was talking about him having been bullied. Now, do you know how big Michael Sam is?
Yes.
He's a big guy. He's such a sweetheart.
He was bullied by his own brothers.
Yeah. And then in school, and the whole mm-hmm. gamut. Mm-hmm. It's amazing he's gotten where he is.
And he's a native Texan.
Oh, yes. I didn't know
Hitchcock.
That.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Hitchcock. Texas. So bullying is something that people just, doesn't matter who you are.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's so much a I'm bigger and more powerful and stronger than you kind of a thought process.
Yeah, but Michael is bigger and stronger.
Right.
And
but his psyche, if he had heard enough of that, you're going to start believing it.
Right.
And so that's another aspect of the book. I'm trying to help bring affirmation mm-hmm. and courage and whatever you want to call it, to those, all of us, whether we're teenagers or whether we're 50-somethings, mm-hmm. we have experienced something that, you know, some sort of an attack, if you will, of some kind, and they start taking their toll after a while.
So let's talk a little bit about your background. You said church was very important to you.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a little bit about your background.
Well, Charlotte and I are both lifelong Presbyterians, native Texans and lifelong Presbyterians.
Congratulations on your religion now,
yes.
recognizing
yes,
your marriage.
Thank you, PCUSA. Yes, we are so very proud to be part of a greater church that is mm-hmm. being progressive and really inclusive, more like Christ's ministry. You know, what a novel thought that is, mm-hmm. than a lot of denominations are. But in any event, we've both grown up in the church and still go and sing in the choir every Sunday. And
you did today.
Yeah, we did today. Came straight from church, left the late service early so we could be here in time today. But it's very important to us. And that truly was the driving force of the book mm-hmm. because we both hate seeing how Christianity, that has been our rock for our life, being used as a tool, mm-hmm. a weapon to bludgeon people with mm-hmm. and exclude them rather than include people, which is what really most faith traditions say they believe.
Yeah, you're supposed to be, there's that whole your brother's keeper, there's that whole do unto others thing.
Exactly.
Those things just really get in the way.
Love your neighbors yourself.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah.
Only
I know.
When we want to, though.
Well, but yeah. You can pick your neighborhood.
Well, I think one of the most amazing things that I've heard from the other side, if we can call it adversarial, and most of the time it is, you know, why would gay people have kids? Because, you know, they're going to get bullied. I'm like, that's a twist of the problem. Mm-hmm. Wow. We shouldn't have kids because they're going to get bullied
your,
in school.
Your kids are going to bully our kids.
Right.
That's,
right.
You know, like, let's not talk about the solution or the ones who
okay,
are causing the
problem. Okay,
here's
my solution to that. Gabrielle gets bullied in school because she has two gay dads. If you don't go to the attorney to file a lawsuit, I'm going to. I have zero patience for that
kind
of thing.
Oh, you. I mean, yeah.
Don't get LaRon started.
That's not going to go untouched. Mm-hmm. Absolutely not.
Yeah. You have kids.
Yes.
You both have kids.
Between us, we have 5 children and 3 grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. Wow, congrats.
Yeah, thank you.
So you had 2.5 kids, Charlotte had 2.5 kids. And Charlotte, give us a little bit about your background.
Well, as I said, we're native Texan, and we actually met at our church back in 1987 is when I came in. And we were best friends all those years, raised our families together, went to church together every Sunday, and we were both married to men at the time. For 20-plus years, and ended up in divorces, and nothing having to do with us because we didn't know about us yet. We were, a couple of years after our divorces, realized that our friendship was going a different direction, and it was alarming to us because we didn't know we had that capacity. Mm-hmm. And we kind of fought it internally each before we even spoke to the other person. And then we finally acknowledged between ourselves and still kept it very secret for about a year. And then we decided to get married. We went to Canada, a little place called St. Catharines, and we didn't even tell our children we were getting married until about a year later. And I think, you know, the story goes on from there that because we moved into her house, we knew we needed to change our wills so I would have a place to live if she died. And she sent a letter to executors of her wills, who happened to be family members, with a little hint, which one of them got, and that's when it all started. She said, "Are you saying in this letter that you're a couple?" And she said,
"Why, yes,
yes
I am.
We are actually saying that."
And how did you, not break it, but how did you break the news to your children?
Well, we each wanted to give each child their own opportunity to have whatever reaction they would have, mm-hmm. good or bad. So we made a little pact beforehand. We're each going to tell each kid separately. I'd tell my 3. She would tell her 2. And it was all of them different, at least for me. I had my oldest child, my daughter, cried and said how proud she was of both of us.
Aww.
Middle son, oh, wow. Kyle, who works in Austin as an attorney at the Texas Supreme Court right now, as a matter of fact, he said, "Thank you for trusting me." He got what that meant, mm-hmm. you know, to be able to tell that it's a risk, even with your own children. Mm-hmm. The youngest at the time, he was 19, I guess, and he was a student at UNT, and he said, "Well, I thought I knew, but then, no, if it was, I would have known, but no, then I thought, no, they're not, they are." And he says, "Mom, this is so hilarious. This is the conversation that kids dread having with their parents, mm-hmm. and you're the one having to have it with me." Yes, it right. was really funny.
Nice.
So totally different reaction, mm-hmm. although
all
completely
positive.
Loving
they
and
were all positive.
Positive.
Yeah.
And yeah, as a matter of fact, my oldest daughter, Rebecca, said it was a deal breaker. If she was going on a date with somebody, if they weren't okay with, mm-hmm. you know, same-sex issues, there's not going to be a second date. Forget it.
And so, Charlotte, wow. how did you tell your kids?
Well, I told my older daughter. She's the oldest of all of our children, and she said, "Oh, wow." She's always just thought of her as a bonus mom, so this just makes it official. And she was excited. And the other daughter's like, "Okay, so I knew that. So what else were you going to say?" I mean, it
wow.
was just a non – it was, well, not news to her.
Sounds like you both did a fantastic job in raising your kids.
Well, and not such a fantastic job of keeping secrets,
no.
apparently.
Well, you're five for five, though. That's great.
That's right.
You are.
And you know what's really exciting is that our grandchildren don't know us anything other than being together.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, they think they say our names together. We are, you know, we're a couple to them. And I think that's the future, hopefully, of our world in that generation. It certainly is right now.
And what I've always found is that kids just, you know, adults are always worried. How are we going to explain it to the kids? You don't have to. It's just normal that the two of you are together.
Right.
You know, if it's if you're the aunts, you're Aunt Diana, Aunt Charlotte, you know, your Uncle Laurent and Uncle Danny,
yep.
and it's not a big deal.
And it's not.
It's just the kids get it.
Yeah.
You're together.
And before the show, you shared that you still, you both ladies still live in the same neighborhood, mm-hmm. go to the same church, nothing has changed, and your neighbors are fine.
Exactly. It's been absolutely wonderful. You know, you hear so many horror stories, mm-hmm. and you hear them from friends who have really, truly experienced them, so you know it's real. Nobody's mm-hmm. making this
right.
stuff up. And so, like I said earlier, it's a risk, as we all know, every time we come out, but to try to live in the same neighborhood, go to the same church that we raised our children in together, married to other people, it is such a testament to mm-hmm. our church family, I think, and mm-hmm. the quality of people everywhere, that it's so important to know the person, then you don't fear this new label, you know, that you try to put on them, mm-hmm. or that we as society
I think you do a very frightening thing. Two of you go to church together, you sing in the choir together, mm-hmm. with other people, I guess. You're not
yes.
the whole choir.
No, that would be a duo.
Then you go home. Then you go home. That's frightening.
Isn't
that's
it
frightening.
Scary?
Just alarming.
No, they probably go out to lunch after
oh.
church.
Oh, that's true.
Somewhere.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And we might
lunch.
Get a beer. Have
oh.
more.
Wait.
Oh,
they,
here we go.
But I'm assuming you don't go to a restaurant in Indiana.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Won't be going anytime soon, either.
Yeah, no. We'll talk about that a little bit later in the show.
I'll walk the streets in California.
Now,
yeah.
Could get
more of your family is supportive. Your brother marched in the Pride Parade with you last year.
Yes. For those who don't know, David Finfrock is a huge ally and has been for years.
That's wonderful.
I think it just tickled him to finally find out, oh, wow, so my sister, I'm
we
working for
one.
Her, too.
Yeah, we have one.
Right.
That's how my family
is. Yeah, exactly.
Is. As far as I know, on Taffet's side of the family, I'm the only one, and we got one.
But yeah, we walked in the Pride Parade last year with David, and he was a celebrity extraordinaire.
Oh, that's
and
awesome.
And he took time to have his picture made with everybody and people shaking his hands and so happy to see someone that, you know, people feel they know David because he's in their living rooms every night.
He's been on Channel 5 for...
Since about 1975.
Something like that.
1975,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
He was here when I moved here, late 70s
yeah.
already. So
he came
yeah.
straight
yeah.
from grad school mm-hmm. to Channel 5.
And I think, aren't there some pictures on your website?
That's right. If you...
not
on the Facebook page. If you go to my website, you can access the Facebook and Twitter account, and you'll see pictures of David and me with a little NBC peacock and walking
oh,
in our
nice.
Pride Parade shirt.
And your website is dooroftheheart.com.
Yes, dooroftheheart.com.
Which is the name of your book. We're talking to Diana Finfrock Farah and her wife, Charlotte Mullering. And Diana just wrote a book called Door of the Heart. It's a novel, and we're just talking lots of stuff that went into making this novel. When did you first decide to start writing?
Well, like I said earlier, it really wasn't my idea.
Mm-hmm.
This book chose me. It was truly a calling. And when I realized the similarities between why Harriet Beecher Stowe wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin, she wrote that story because she did not like seeing the way her Christian faith was being used to justify the brutality of you know, what she saw on the streets. And she lived in a free state in 1850. In the same way, I had not liked the way I was seeing this far-right, you know, Christian, let's beat down the gays, you know, attitude. I didn't know what to do about it. And I went to church the next morning after having read Uncle Tom's Cabin for the first time ever. And everything, I mean, from the silent prayer and meditation to the call to worship, the scriptures we sang, read, the hymns we sang, everything said, you have a story to tell, and I expect you to tell it. You know, well then. Mm-hmm. I was writing in 3 days later, though.
February of 2013.
Yeah, February of 2013. It is a work of fiction, but it's based on true stories and current events. We're chapter 8 and 9. loosely, but every story in there is true.
Mm-hmm.
And the vitriol that I could not come up with on my own, you'll never guess where I found it.
in real life.
The letters to the editor of the Dallas Morning News.
Wow.
I would wake up every morning with scissors in my hand. Before even taking a sip of my hot tea or anything, I'm clipping out like a fiend all this hatred.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I got a lot of the bad stuff in my book, because I just couldn't come up with that on my own. Yeah. But the stories are real. And I really don't think there's anything made up. They're either.
And you're very Texana, you know. I mean, you've got the state fair. You talk about lots of very Texas things.
Yeah, for those who aren't around Texas, they'll learn a little bit about Texas. And for those people who are, or really anywhere in the South, you'll recognize so much of our little Southern traditions and heritage.
And in the sequel, she'll have made an appearance on a radio show.
number one talk radio show in Dallas.
Wait,
there
number
you go.
According
to
number one observer. Award-winning.
Yes.
Yes. And speaking of awards, I'm going to give myself a little plug here. I just, I guess about 6 weeks ago, won the best 2015 Best Fiction for LGBT from the Texas Authors Association.
Oh, awesome.
Well, congratulations.
And we'll be going to the Capitol next week for the Dear Texas, which is Drop Everything and Read.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be going to that next week.
Hopefully you don't see most of our legislators.
We'll
talk about that after the break, too. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Laron Landis and the late Patty Fink. Diana Finfrock Farah wrote the book Door of the Heart, and she's here with her wife, Charlotte Mullering, and we'll be back right after this.
Jake Winters from Leicester, England, and I listen to Lambda Weekly on KNON 89.3 FM.
David?
And this is Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with the late Patty Fink and Laron Landis. Diana Finfrock Farah is our guest. Her new book is Door of the Heart. Just tell us again briefly what your book is. It's a novel.
It's a novel. Based on true stories and current events, so you'll see a lot of things that happened. It was written between February or March of 2013 to 2014, so the repeal of DOMA, the whole issue of the Boy Scouts allowing, you know, gay scouts in their troops happened during that time. The states starting to domino. When I started writing, there were only 9 states where marriage equality existed, and when I finished, I think it was 19.
Something
and now
like
we're
that.
What?
And now
38?
We're 37.
37. Yeah.
Plus part of Missouri.
It's a squishy.
That's
a,
yeah.
It's kind of plus St. Louis, and that was told they had to. All of Missouri has to recognize marriages from other states, and Kansas City said, "Well, if St. Louis is going to do it, we are too."
Yeah.
So.
And then there's Alabama.
It's nothing of it. And then Alabama, who's refusing, but it actually is a marriage equality state, and Washington, D.C., too. So,
how long did it take you to actually complete the book?
Well, yeah, I had a skeleton version done in about 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I started doing all the fill-in, you know, so I knew what I was doing. It truly, from start to finish, almost a year to the date.
Yep.
So I was rather consumed. I didn't do much else. Sometimes I would wake up in the middle of the night and start writing. Like, I'll remind you, this wasn't my idea. It was truly a calling. And many times things just came to me. They either fell in my lap, either meeting people or hearing about stories or, you know, whatever, that something happening in the news. And sometimes I would just wake up and thought, I have to write.
And you know something, I'm a writer. I write for Dallas Voice.
That's right.
And I wake up in the middle of the night sometimes, too, and I always say, I can wait till morning.
But, you know, another first-time author that we've had on the show many, many times is Glenn Maxey. Of course, he wrote his book. It was strictly an e-book. And he said he had the same experience wanting to, you know, jot down anything at any time. Mm-hmm. So do you anticipate maybe a sequel? Because we'll have to ask Glenn Maxey as well.
That's true. That's true. I have thought about it, and I already know where it would probably go. But right now, I feel the first part of my calling was writing the book. The second part of it is getting the message out there, because it's really changing hearts and minds for people that think they don't know anybody who's gay, or, oh, that doesn't affect me, so I don't need to even worry about it. They might not even necessarily be against, but. Who was it? Desmond Tutu said, when an elephant is standing on the tail of a mouse, the mouse will not appreciate your neutrality.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of how we in the LGBT community have to feel. Mm-hmm. And yet we have to understand we didn't come to our acceptance of ourselves overnight. Mm-hmm. So how can we expect others who are so against or have no opinion whatsoever to change their minds so quickly?
Okay, so this brings us right into the marriage discrimination laws that are going on right mm-hmm. now. You know, you said, if it doesn't affect me, you know, I don't care one way or the other. And that's the good reaction. I don't care. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't affect me at all, which means since it doesn't affect you, why are you wouldn't be against.
Right.
Right? It just doesn't affect you. But these religious discrimination laws that are going on all over the place, and those figure into the book too.
Pretty much, yeah. They weren't actually happening then because there was no backlash, because mm-hmm. we didn't have much in the way of marriage equality. So they did, you know, the other side, so to speak, didn't feel they had to come out and try mm-hmm. to, you know, beat it down.
And I'm calling them marriage discrimination laws or religious discrimination laws. What are they actually calling them?
License to discriminate.
Yeah.
Well,
they're calling them religious. Freedom of religion.
Freedom of religion. Okay.
Right. Religious freedom. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, you know, all of us here, that's just not what our religions say. Yeah. Our religions don't believe that. You know, and your religion is a choice. So why would you go to one of those churches that tell you those mm-hmm. kinds of things? Okay, so Indiana this week passed a religious discrimination law which allows you to discriminate based on sexual orientation or gender identity.
Or really anything.
Yeah, you really could.
Pretty
you
know, much.
If you're just your, quote, mm-hmm. sincerely held religious belief, you know, mm-hmm. you could say, you know, My religion says I can support slavery and discriminate against black people
people. All of our religions say that. It's in the Bible.
That's right.
Oh, true. Yeah.
We just don't follow that little part of it. You know, we've learned how to get around that part.
Or get past that part.
Yeah. We get past that part. We can, and just like we can get that past that part, people can get past this part. So anyway, Indiana signed a religious discrimination law this week, or the governor signed it.
In secret. In private.
That's right, his
in
private
press,
ceremony.
In private.
The press was actually turned away.
But he had no idea that there would be a backlash.
And I don't know why he had no idea. It's not like he wasn't warned.
Yeah. Okay, so Diana, what is your take on these laws?
Well, it's just so sad. Because it looks like Governor Pence is so trying to channel his inner George Wallace, mm-hmm. you know, from the 60s. And I hate seeing that, you know, Indiana isn't the only one out there doing this.
Texas is trying.
That's right. Arizona at least, you know, saw the light, was mm-hmm. in the last year and decided to veto that bill. But, you know, there are, 12 or 13 states, if I remember correctly, that have similar laws either in committee or out of committee and already passed by one of their yep. legislative, you know, sides. And it's just so scary. Because if we really look, if we're trying to base all this on religion, whatever your religion is, and since I'm Christian, I'm going to talk about, you know, the Bible. The Bible was written for a specific purpose to a specific people for a specific time. Mm-hmm. And so much of the Jewish faith, you know, is based, I mean, you get that. And
but in Judaism, we have same-sex marriage.
Exactly. But you don't do animal sacrifice anymore.
Oh, I do. I'm not supposed to?
But if we could just realize that, it's no different than when we're 16, we might not be allowed to wear lipstick or go on dates. Mm-hmm. But that isn't the rule forevermore. So I don't.
Well, if you're Southern Baptist like I was raised,
oh, well, there you
there's
go.
Dancing, there's playing cards. Yeah. It's just no alcohol. It's on and on.
It's just such a cut and dry, literal, black and white, right versus wrong. But that's not life. Life isn't just black or white. There's a lot of gray. And yes, sorry about that.
That's okay.
But I mean, and I hate to see these religious freedom acts being proposed, because what is it really representing? Not the religions.
Your religious freedom ends where it infringes on my religious freedom.
Exactly.
I'd been saying for years, why don't we file a marriage equality lawsuit based on freedom of religion, since my religion allows me to get married? You're preventing my religion from doing what it says I can do. Finally, last year in North Carolina, UCC, Reform Judaism, and one or two others. I think the Unitarian Church And
what about MCC?
And maybe MCC mm-hmm. did too. But they might not have because they were really looking for mainstream.
Oh, okay.
Filed a lawsuit and said, you're infringing on our religion. Our religion say we can get married.
And we should be treated equally.
And should be treated equally.
And right. It's probably still stuck in the courts somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, it has not gotten a hearing.
Exactly.
But I think that's a great case. And the reason it's a good case is because it's important for us to get it out there. Everybody isn't like these right-wing wackos, you know, and these really conservative religions that are stuck 3,000 years ago, mm-hmm. you know.
And if we just realize that the religious freedom, you know, our founding fathers wrote that into our Constitution so that we would have the ability to worship whom we pleased, where we pleased, and when we pleased.
Okay, here's what I like to say about our founding fathers. Most of them were Congregationalists,
and
the
yes.
majority. And others were deists.
And a lot of Presbyterians, too.
And mm-hmm. and some Presbyterians mm-hmm. who now have same-sex marriage, but the ones who were Congregationalists, that's one of the C's in UCC. Mm-hmm. So when they're talking about the Christianity of our founding fathers, they're talking Cathedral of Hope, not First Baptist
right.
Church.
Mm-hmm. And somehow we've missed that along the line. We so want to be right mm-hmm. and be a part of the crowd, I mm-hmm. guess, we the greater society, that we're missing the boat on the whole thing, really.
So right. here's what I love about Mike Pence, the governor of Indiana. All of a sudden, after, Disciples of Christ has pulled out a 6,000-person conference in Indianapolis, Salesforce, which is one of the state's largest employers, has said they're not expanding in the state anymore. They had plans to. They're not allowing any travel in and out from their offices.
Angie's List has pulled out expansion. I think that was going to be over 1,000 jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Eli Lilly, Apple, the Indiana Chamber of Commerce, mm-hmm. the City and County of San Francisco, California, the NBA, the WNBA. I mean, the list
That's
goes
fantastic.
On. It's just
yeah.
been amazing.
And the NCAA is being encouraged to move their Final Four.
So you know
out
what?
State.
Mike yeah. Pence, all of a sudden, he's having second thoughts. He feels like he's being discriminated against. Poor thing.
It goes both ways.
Yeah, it does go uh-huh. both ways. And that's the way to stop these stupid laws. Okay, here's the other one, religious freedom. Religious freedom, my butt. This is terrorism. In California, there's a state representative, assemblyman.
He's not an elected official.
Oh, he's not an elected
official. No, he's
official.
Not.
Okay.
He's a lawyer proposing.
Oh, he's an attorney. Okay. He's proposing a ballot initiative, and anything can be a ballot initiative in
right.
California. They have such a screwed up system out there. The ballot initiative would be to kill all the gay people.
Yes.
Bullet to the head.
To shoot them in the head, right?
Bullet to the head, uh-huh.
Okay, why isn't that terrorism? Why isn't the FBI investigating them? And why did it take until yesterday or Friday for their attorney general to come out and say, we're doing what we can to make sure this doesn't get on the ballot? Why isn't this guy's law license being investigated? Why
Well, there has been a state assemblyman who's
yeah.
filed an official complaint with the
to have him,
Association
right,
of California.
Right, right.
What took so long?
No kidding.
Well, I don't know the specifics, but apparently, like you said, I don't think there was much they could do legally to even prevent him from putting it out there.
You know what their attorney general could have done? She could have – and she's running for U.S. Senate.
Mm-hmm.
She's
mm-hmm.
going after Barbara Boxer's seat. In a state like California, you don't have to worry that you're going to be seen as a little bit too liberal, especially on the issue of murder. Why didn't she say, we are trying to do what we can to keep this off the ballot. We need ideas. Our laws don't allow this. I don't think that makes you look weak. I think it makes you look like mm-hmm. we need to work together.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a novel idea.
Yeah.
But, you know, the most stunning thing about this, going back to the Indiana new law that was just signed into law, is how many people that do support it. There's a joke that Chris Rock said a while back ago, and I'm paraphrasing here. If you want to find out who your bigot friends are, get a Facebook account.
Right.
And it's so true because you wouldn't believe, and I'm not saying that the majority, but they're a loud minority, who support these laws. And I'm thinking, okay, I thought this was decided, just the issue of general discrimination in public forums, public accommodations. I thought that was decided for a long time ago.
Well, one of the dangerous things, I think, is that what we're hearing from the other side, the people who support this and are trying to say, no, it's not about discrimination,
right,
is that these state laws are being modeled after the law, the federal law that Bill Clinton signed in the 90s. And they're not at all. They're completely different. And the same is true as in the law in Texas. The one from 1997 or 98 that's been on the books in Texas since then,
mm-hmm,
was very, very carefully crafted. Everyone was happy with it, just as they were with the federal law. And it doesn't allow for any sort of frivolity or, you know, silliness to happen in terms of discriminating against others. But it does leave a pathway that if you have a sincerely held belief, like if you want to wear certain kinds of clothing at work,
right,
that your employer should accommodate that. But it's not this, oh, I think they might be gay walking in the door, you can't sit down and eat at this restaurant.
Exactly.
Kind of thing. And what they're really trying to do here and what they've done in other states is to update it and basically yank out all of that very carefully crafted stability and balance that is in there. And they're doing it in Texas. They proposed it in Texas as a new law. And then Dingbat from New Braunfels, Donna Campbell, is wanting to put it in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like done some word salad out of the old law and wants to put it in the new one.
But
without all that protection.
Yeah, one of the words they're leaving out purposefully is that substantial burden.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Instead of just, you know, it places a burden on your religious freedom instead of a substantial burden. And we all know what that means, you know, the
right,
greater scrutiny and all of that.
It
so, you know, anything could be
any
a burden.
Kind
oh,
of
yeah,
burden
exactly.
on anybody.
No.
What it does is it puts more money in your pocket. They're worried about the florists and the cake bakers who are going to have to bake a cake for a wedding they don't want to bake a cake for. And what I've been saying all along is if you're a photographer, you don't want to do a particular wedding, you just say, oh, June 23rd, ugh, I'm booked that day.
Exactly.
I'm on vacation.
There are ways to be polite.
Mm-hmm. Or are they going to bake the cake or do the photography for the person who's on their third and fourth marriage? You know, what's that?
Yeah.
I forget his name, the congressman that's been married five times.
Mm-hmm. Newt Gingrich was the, you know.
No, but there's a Texas congressman. I forget his
oh.
name now.
There's got to be quite a few of those.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
About 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Well,
yeah.
and Florida's attorney general who was fighting tooth and nail against same-sex marriage in that state.
Exactly.
Pam Bondi.
She was busy. They couldn't find her 1 week because she was off in the Bahamas on her fourth marriage or
yeah.
something.
Once
yeah.
again, we're picking
yeah.
and choosing
mm-hmm.
instead of looking
right.
at if you're going to use, you know, the Bible as your guidebook,
mm-hmm.
you can't pick and choose,
mm-hmm.
which is exactly what these religious freedom acts are doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there might be a silver lining in all of this. I think this
oh,
is
I do too.
I think this is what we need to get a federal law passed that will give us protection.
Oh.
This
court
is like
ruling that overturns these laws is going to give us more rights
right.
than these people ever thought about
exactly.
taking
exactly.
away.
Exactly.
Because you can't ignore this absurdity.
You
like
really can't.
Like I mentioned earlier, standing on the mouse's tail,
mm-hmm.
this a big mouse
right.
that they're standing on now.
And, you know, and a lot of people say, oh, why are you all always complaining? I don't see you being discriminated against. This is what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's more than
about.
Just, I think the difference not having that substantial burden is that it, you know, for a long time, with the substantial burden, it's like, you know, the kid's in the back seat on a long road trip that say, he's punching me. And now it's like, he's looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
Make him stop.
That is
you
so
know?
True, though, because
yeah.
that's
yeah.
the difference.
Mm-hmm.
That's what leaving out that one little word can mean. Because
mm-hmm.
yeah. you can be burdened by anything, and
right.
we can just start making it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Which they are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so one of the characters in your book, and we're talking to Diana Finfrock Farah, her new book is called Door of the Heart. It's a novel. One of your characters is a conservative Texas politician. How did you find one?
Like I said, it's a work of fiction, but based on true stories and current events.
So there
so
are
wasn't
some.
A big stretch.
Ah.
Yes, yes.
How did you narrow it down?
Well, a lot of the characters are compilations of people, and let's just leave it at that,
mm-hmm.
okay? But you might recognize some people. You probably already have. I know you're reading, Patty, but in any event, it wasn't very hard. And I wanted to be able to show a true image, if you will, of those who are really struggling with this.
Mm-hmm.
And don't know what to do. And it's not the issue, I think, that scares people so much. It's the fact that they might have to change. That's what's scary.
Mm-hmm.
not the issue so much. And I hate calling, you know, all of us an issue. But, you know.
Well, I couldn't change. I mean, seriously,
yeah.
If you think about it, if you want to put yourself in their shoes and how difficult it would be, I couldn't be anything other than what I am. Can you imagine me?
But you could change how you think about other people.
Exactly.
Well, that's true.
And
that's
are
true.
We born with fear of other people, which ultimately turns into hatred? I think that's a Nelson Mandela quote, where he says, we're not born naturally fearing and hating each other. We're taught that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think of
absolutely.
That old South Pacific song, you know, we're carefully taught.
Mm-hmm.
And that we can change. We can quit teaching that. The people who have learned that, who just feel they cannot change, they might not. You know, we're still fighting equality for racial equality and for, you know, between men and women and our earning capacity. We're still fighting all those traditions that we thought were fine and dandy.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're still, you know, a little bit of that still hangs on.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, we might not all change. But if enough of us do, it makes a big difference.
And we're really asking people just to change enough to not let us bother you.
Exactly. I had the best compliment the other day. Someone who's known Charlotte and me for probably 25-plus years said, you know, when I think of you two, I don't think of y'all as being gay or anything. I just think of Charlotte and Diana. And I thought, oh my gosh, that is the
you
best compliment ever.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Not special, right?
Exactly.
Just
right.
Who you are.
And when I think of Patty and Aaron.
And it's fantastic.
When I think of Patty and Aaron, I think of Patty and Aaron. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Lauren Landis and the late Patty Fink. Our guests are Charlotte Mollering. She is the wife of Diana Finfrock Farah. And Diana's new book is Door of the Heart. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
This is Janice McCall from TCU, and I listen to Lambda Week on 89.3 KNON FM, Dallas.
And this is Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Lauren Landis and the late Patty Fink. And our guest is Diana Finfrock Farah, and her new book is Door of the Heart. She's here with her wife, Charlotte Mollering, and we're just talking stuff that came in through the book. Okay, so conservative Texans, one of them is Ken Paxton. Now,
and a felon. I mean,
well, you know, we were worried that he was going to be more conservative than his predecessor, who is now our governor. And he may be, but he's also proving himself to be pretty stupid.
No, big time stupid.
Yeah, like filing lawsuits against the wrong judges, that kind of thing. One of the things he did this week was he filed a lawsuit, and we have an injunction against it. It was a lawsuit against the federal government, which expanded the definition of family in the Family Medical Leave Act. So in other words, if you're a heterosexual married couple, is what the law originally said, if you're the husband and your wife is sick and it's for an extended illness, you need to take time off from work, you can take unpaid leave. So it costs the company an awful lot. I can't figure out, all these lawsuits are based on the extraordinary expense that it's going to cost. So Texas doesn't want this expense of not paying people. And so they filed this lawsuit to stop the expansion of the definition if you are legally married, like the other side of the table is, and we're not.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's team married.
Team married.
If one of you needed to take off, you could take off. And he filed a lawsuit. Here's what's interesting. Dallas expanded FMLA when? Last fall?
Last fall, yep.
Fort Worth expanded it last summer. Dallas County expanded it just this week.
Mm-hmm.
They put in a new category. In order to not conflict with the state, anybody can do a plus one.
It's so just a designated care recipient.
If you're gay, if you're single, and I like this because it affects more people. You know, we were able, by pushing for this, we were able to help more people even.
And, you know, this is going to affect a lot of people who are single and are, for example, the only caregiver for maybe a grandmother raised them or mm-hmm. a neighbor raised them and their siblings. And that, what is it kind of culturally? They expect the single sibling or the one who is closest to do all of the caregiving. And, you know, that's, I think that's a wonderful thing mm-hmm. For folks, because single people, I remember being single and I felt kind of left out of a lot of things that monetarily, a compensation package going to somebody else in the company was enormously more mm-hmm. because they were married and had mm-hmm. kids. Right. And I would get, you know,
there's a vulnerability there.
Yeah, it is.
Big time.
And so I think this is huge, mm-hmm. absolutely huge. And the change in the definition of the federal FMLA definition mm-hmm.
To include all married people. It
correct.
Wasn't a
all
big stretch.
People.
They didn't have to study it. It just includes all married people, not
so,
a certain category of married people.
So this lawsuit has been filed, and a federal judge granted it temporarily. Mm-hmm. I'm confused as to why, because I didn't know that state law could trump federal law.
It can.
Yeah, I didn't think so either, Patty. So what's the next step? Because this is temporary.
The next step is the case that's going before the Supreme Court on marriage.
There you
that
go.
Is, everything is going to be decided. Not everything, but an awful lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah, it will.
It's going to be huge because mm-hmm. it's going to start the big domino effect mm-hmm. because I know there's a lot of angst, if you will, with mm-hmm. so much focus being on marriage equality, but we've got to start somewhere. And when that one, when that big domino falls, I really truly feel all the others will too.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just, unfortunately for all of us, a matter of time.
Mm-hmm. Well, but this lawsuit, see, it's going to be somebody's campaign ad. I sued Obama. Mm-hmm. I sued the federal government.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they're going to see that as some sort of feather in their cap that makes them
well,
better than their fellow Republican.
Our governor campaigned on how many times he sued Obama.
Mm-hmm.
What
right.
he left out was he lost every single case.
Exactly. And that was all of our tax money.
And yep. Yeah, exactly.
Yep. He's doing it for campaign purposes, uh-huh. but it's costing
exactly.
us money.
Mm-hmm. Tony Tinderholt. Aaron she just met him?
No, not met him.
Oh, okay.
No.
What did she say?
No,
She sent a text message to
yeah,
the studio.
She was chiming in that Tony Tinderholt was the guy who had been married 5 times. So I asked, okay. I confirmed. I said,
twice to the same person, so
the
he
mega
says
marrier,
it's only 4.
And she says, yep,
that's
five times.
Well, he says it's only 4 because twice it was to the same Playboy bunny, basically. Well, she was.
Well, they are a piece of work when they don't see the hypocrisy in it mm-hmm. because they don't see us as you know, married people.
And
see us as somebody who's playing at it, I think.
And Tony Tinderholt is the one who filed the lawsuit against Sarah and Suzanne's marriage down in Austin. Sarah's the one who has uterine cancer, and a judge said they could get married. So
mm-hmm.
it was a decision
and
just
so they did.
For them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And I saw Sarah this week. She's doing great.
Fantastic. Oh, good.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah. She is doing well. And Sarah works in Celia Israel's office, Representative Celia Israel, second lesbian in the legislature. And Celia's going to be our guest on April 19th.
Oh,
by
phone. Great.
Yeah,
great.
So that'll be a lot of fun. You were down in Austin for the Faith Advocacy Day. I was down there this week for family. No, you were...
we were Faith Advocacy
You were Faith.
Day.
I was...
Mm-hmm.
Family?
You were family.
I was family.
It's,
okay.
And the
every
next
week
one is
there's
freedom.
Something else.
Next
yeah.
one is freedom.
I think that's
okay, yes.
On the 13th,
the 23rd.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm. 13th or
April 23rd. 13th, I think.
Actually, there's one more. It's a transgender day on the 31st of March, so it's
okay.
Tuesday, this coming Tuesday.
So this is wonderful. So. They are going to hear our voices, our collective voices, because mm-hmm. there are so many different aspects to equality. It's not just the one, you know, dimensional thing of marriage equality like we've talked about. It's so many other things.
Okay, did you go into any really horrible legislators' offices? It would be hard not to with who the legislature is right
you know,
now.
You know, I have to admit, I was lobbying on the birth certificate aspect
mm-hmm.
of things, just trying to get parent and parent instead of mother and father listed. That would fix so many things.
Mm-hmm.
And I was greeted with really very positive responses. But now remember, we're getting the assistance
right.
to these mm-hmm. legislators. So they're all in their 20s and early 30s, and they're right on board. But their boss may or might not be.
Yeah, I met a couple of assistants who weren't
mm-hmm.
so polite.
So I've been.
I don't know if it was me.
Yeah, I've been in correspondence with my representative on a lot of things recently.
Now, that bill was introduced by Rafael Enchia, and this week on Monday was not just Gay Lobby Day; it was also Anti-Gay Lobby Day. Judge Moore from Alabama, he was there delivering a hate speech on the steps of the Capitol. Ken Paxton, our attorney general, is the one who introduced him.
And I heard that there were tens of people in the crowd.
There were. However, those tens of people, when I walked into Raphael's office, they looked at me and they said, oh, a friendly face. They hit those offices bad. And
wow.
They were not friendly. But that bill on the birth certificates, and do you want to explain what the bill is?
I don't know all the ins and outs. I just know
general.
The basic of it is when, if Charlotte and I were to have a child and say I gave birth to the child, Charlotte would not be listed as anything more than a legal stranger because her name would not go anywhere on there because there's only room for one mother. Mm-hmm. You can't put her under the father. And so she gets left out totally. And so the aspect of that is to try to get parent and parent so that both parents are on there. And, Lauren, you go further.
Well,
sure.
She would be allowed to adopt through a second parent process.
Correct. At great expense.
But even with that, so she would be another legal parent. But even then, they would not put her on a birth certificate.
Right. And think how many times as a parent you use a birth certificate when your kid goes to soccer when they're 4 years old.
When they go to school.
When they go to school. If you're trying to get a passport, yeah, or a summer camp, you need your birth certificate.
If you're trying to travel.
Exactly. And let's just say, once again, my biological child, she's the legal stranger.
Mm-hmm.
If I was sick and couldn't take the child to the doctor, are they going to, you know, they might not take care of the child because they don't know who she is.
Mm-hmm.
What is an emergency? What if I die?
Right.
Where's the child going to go if we didn't go to that expense and trouble of adoption?
The good news is that bill got a good hearing. And several conservative, not your usual people who you would think would support this kind of thing, said to some of the people in the committee room after who were giving testimony, they said, so you're the parent and you're not on the birth certificate and you've been the parent since birth?
Right.
They just don't understand. I think it's so important that those of us go on these advocacy days.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, I'm going to get back to the book. We put a face to the issue. And as soon as someone's looking at a face and a human being right across from them, their tune changes.
Mm-hmm.
I got a letter or a tweet, actually. It was about three tweets, you know, and from somebody in Austin. I've never met this person. I will never meet them. And she said, your book made such a change in the life of someone. My best friend gave it to her mother because the girl's brother, the woman's son, came out as gay, and he was not allowed to come home. I don't know how old this kid was. Mm-hmm. Sounded like probably a teenager or very young adult because he needed to come home. And the gal got the book for her mother, and her mother saw things in a whole new light. And this was her own son. I mean, she knew this person. But then again, how well did she really know him?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So it's just sad. We need to put faces to everything, you know, regarding our plights.
Do you know, that's the main reason when I said, did you go into any of the bad offices? Mm-hmm. One of the goals of these advocacy days isn't to go into people who are going to support the bills anyway. And I did. I stopped in half a dozen offices just to say hi.
And they have been guests on our show, like Robbie Allen.
Exactly. So, you know, I said I stopped in just to say hi. But the opponents need to hear.
Mm-hmm.
They need to hear that not everybody agrees with them. Now, my favorite, Molly White, a constituent, walked into her office. This is a constituent. Lives in her district and said, I don't want to waste your time, but more important, you're not going to waste mine. Now get out of here.
See, that's unbelievable. They have lost sight of what they're supposed to be doing, representing the people.
Hurt 2 minutes? You listen, you say, you understand we're not on the same side on this issue, but I appreciate your coming by. What's so hard about that?
It's amazing to me that people, I really do think there's a widespread objectification of us, where we're really not even human.
Exactly.
We're this abstract concept that they can call us deviants and perverts and all of this stuff simply because we're LGBT. And like we don't exist. And
Judge Moore, that was one of his favorite words, was perverts.
Yeah, it's pretty common.
Mm-hmm. And that's why it's so important that we all live our open lives and we don't go, you know, necessarily moving away somewhere so we can be open. Why not live right here where you live?
Okay,
and that's
I'll
where
try.
We need to make a difference. Don't be moving, David.
No, I mean, I'll try to be
out.
Open.
You'll try to
I'll
be
try
open.
To come
okay.
out, you know, sometime, you know.
But, you know, I think it's a testament to how far we're coming that people are having to be so ugly. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's that wild animal syndrome. There, some people on the other side are feeling so backed into the corner that they're having to strike out because of that fear.
One
fear
of the what? Odd things that I've seen, we have 37 marriage equality states plus several cities. And somebody this week, was it from the American Family Association, I think, said, well, when it's all 50, we're going, you know, there's going to be a revolution. There's, okay, yeah. So 37, no, not so much. We can live with it. But 50, oh, we can't live with
it's
50.
It's going to be a revolution.
Well, it's interesting that he or she said when there's 50, because that tells
they know it's coming. And that's why there's such a big backlash.
Yeah. Right.
Because we are making progress, and I think we just have to be patient and not stoop to their level of ugliness. I know I simply refuse. I'm not going to.
Right.
And I'm going to bring cake.
There you go.
Oh, that was one thing for Advocacy Day. Equality Texas gave everybody who was lobbying a piece of cake in a box to bring to your first legislator.
I think that was brilliant.
Well, oh, sure yeah, was. Sure was.
Who doesn't like cake, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't like hate cake. Like
that's right.
And I sure don't want a cake that's baked by one of those bakers who won't do a same-sex wedding. I'm afraid of what they'll put in the cake.
Exactly.
Well, and not just that, but I don't think people realize that depending on how these bills are crafted, it could affect first responders, police, fire, disaster relief workers, physicians, doctors, nurses, emergency rooms. I mean, these people could say, you know, you're having a heart attack, but you're obviously gay. I can't do CPR on you, and so somebody dies.
Yep.
Because of somebody else's, you know, their
it's
burdened.
My religious belief.
Or
my house is burning down, and you once the firefighter rolls up to the house and realizes a lesbian couple
well,
lives there. Let it burn.
And I think too, it's going to lead to a lot of insidious stuff too, because people don't want they object to having any sign put up. They don't want to be labeled as a bigot. Oh. Mm-hmm. But suppose they just give you crappy service.
Right.
Or,
Patty,
you know,
just
said
a naughty word.
Or misdiagnose you, or give you the wrong treatment, or you know, do something dangerous in your home, a repair or something, because they don't like you the fact that you're gay. You know, I mean, that's really, really scary.
It could happen.
Well, right now, you have the defense that somebody does that, sabotages your house, you sue them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, no, I have an excuse. It was against my religious belief.
Right.
And even if they did end up losing down the road, well, your house still burned, or your loved one still had the heart attack and died.
Exactly.
Or whatever. I mean, it's not like you can get that back.
I think another bad result of this is it would probably put back into course when there's violence against our community, these panic defenses.
Right.
You know, well,
A gay person came near me,
so my religion said I had to defend myself.
We have 1 minute left. Diana, tell us a little bit about your book again. The name of the book is Door of the Heart. Where can you get it?
The Door of the Heart, you can find it on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, through my website, which is DoorOfTheHeart.com. You can order it straight from the publisher.
And just tell us briefly, give us the quickie version of what the book is.
It's changing hearts and minds regarding everything LGBT. It's trying to challenge the reader to think for themselves. Don't just take what you've been taught or what you think you might believe. Really think about it. What do you believe? Come to your own conclusions. And, of course, I'm hoping the conclusion will be there'll be a more open and understanding look, you know, at the LGBT community. It might not, but at least they put thought into it. That's what the book is about.
Diana, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for inviting
us. Charlotte, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
David, thank you for coming. Laurent, you're supposed to be here.
Of course.
You too, Patty.
Thanks.
For all of us here at Lambda Weekly, we'll be back next week with more.